Hey there, this is Sophie. Before we get started in our deep dive podcast conversation today, I just wanted to let you know that if you enjoy our podcast, you might also enjoy some of the other great content we have available for you on YouTube, our blog, and on our website. Check it out, russellinvestments.com.
In times of crisis, we saw this happen really after the 9/11 incidents. People that were in the moment of 9/11 were not really looking or observing their financial portfolios. They weren't really opening their statements right away. And what we found is that in the months following 9/11, it was only then that people started opening up their statements and really taking a harder look at their overall portfolio. And frankly, had some gripes about it, had some issues around that. We are seeing that happen again with the recent 6 months here. So much of our attention has been focused on the pandemic. An opportunity for growth, we think, for advisors, is particularly with their existing book of business, is to actually take the opportunity to not just talk, but to actually show your clients how you're guiding them through this period of time and where you're going in terms of the vision and the plan. What that does is it allows you to sort of revisit why you've made certain decisions, right? Why you've arrived at the investment portfolios and the decisions around those portfolios. Think about your regular portfolio reviews. You're likely already talking about performance, but what if you were to encapsulate that into everything else? All the rebalancing that you're doing, all the behavioral coaching that you're doing, all of the investment decision-making that you're doing, all of the oversight and due diligence around the strategies that you've chosen for them. And it allows your client to sort of get off that phone call, get off that webcast or whatever meeting that you're doing, and really sort of have them say, gosh, I realize they're doing a lot for me. And so that sentiment, that feeling that comes from that is really how organic referrals and growth are created.
Welcome to the Helping Advisors podcast by Russell Investments. I'm Sophie Antel-Gibert, head of North America Portfolio and Business Consulting for Russell Investments' advisor and intermediary solutions business. Now, if we think back to the first few months of this year, and we think back to where we are now, most likely, things haven't looked at all the way that we thought that they would. Whether it's because of the pandemic or because of market volatility or because of changes to working from home suddenly, or even, you know, sort of the social issues that have come up in our society in the last few months. Another area that might not feel like it went quite as the way you had planned, or many advisors feel like it, they would have planned it, is maybe we weren't able to grow our business quite the way we had imagined, quite the way we had pictured, or quite the way we had planned when we were doing 2020 planning about a year ago and thinking about all the different opportunities that we had for expanding our business, both within our existing client base and also being able to prospect to those high-value prospects, to those people that we have on our prospecting list, to building deeper relationships with our COIs in our communities. Well, we realize this year hasn't been what we all thought that it would be. And so today, we want to focus on what are some of those growth opportunities and those growth strategies that you can use to reignite growth in the second half of this year, and also begin to incorporate some of these strategies and tactics as we now, again, sit in front of planning for next year, except this year it's going to be for 2021 instead of 2020. To help guide us through this and share best practices and ideas from advisors around the country and also from our business solutions team, I'm joined today by my colleague, Nancy Fahmy, who is a senior business solutions director for Russell Investments. She is an expert at coaching advisors and also delivers a number of talks and presentations live and most recently via webcast, and has worked with advisors for over 20 years. So she is incredibly well-versed. So with that, Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Hi, Sophie. It's so great to be speaking with you today.
So you have been talking to advisors And a lot of them are looking to make a transition. They're ready for moving out of the first half of this year where everything was just sort of triage and just trying to survive, and are now looking to, all right, I really want to reignite my growth. I want to fire up that growth engine again that, you know, I have missed having an opportunity to focus on that. Where are you seeing advisors focus there? And what are some of the ideas that you've seen work well? And, you know, maybe we can triage that into ideas that might work well when I'm mining my existing book of business versus ideas that might work really well and might be really appropriate for bringing a new target prospect into my book.
Let's sort of start with the existing client base, because again, you've already built so much trust with them. And I've really seen five tactics that are really working for advisors today.
Terrific. So how about, Nancy, would you be game if we take them one by one? You mentioned you have five ideas. If we take them one by one, which one is your top one? Which is your favorite one right now?
Yeah, one idea that's really suited or really, frankly, appropriate given today's environment is the idea of doing rediscovery on your clients to uncover assets. Especially today, advisors, I think they have a really big, tremendous opportunity in terms of using the current market landscape as really a backdrop for wanting to have a rediscovery conversation with their clients, because likely priorities have shifted. I'm seeing it every day in my own life. My husband and I really talk about it on a day-to-day basis. He's in the healthcare profession, right at the front lines here of COVID. And actually, more recently, two of his colleagues actually just announced their retirement. And by the way, unplanned retirement before this year. And so these folks have identified a shift in terms of their focus, their goals. These are really big life decision and changes that are happening. And so we think rediscovery is really the key to understanding what those shifts of priorities are, and then also the why behind those priorities, right? Discovery for some people might equate just to data gathering or even fact finding, but what's missing in that is the why. And until you can really understand the emotional connection that your clients have with the decisions that they're making, that's when you can truly know and understand your clients.
So that's interesting. So it sounds like you're really making a distinction, Nancy, between fact-finding, fact-gathering, and true discovery. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. You know, discovery is really less about the quantitative, right? It's more about the qualitative. So what do I mean by that? It sort of starts off with the data gathering questions really begin with the how much, right? How much do you have? How much do you make? How much do you spend? How much do you need to live in retirement or to educate your children? And of course, those are really important questions to know, but that's not discovery, right? And rediscovery. Rediscovery of your clients is really about authentically listening and being curious. It's about building trust with your clients and sort of building that emotional connection with them in a way that maybe you've never done before. And really having a genuine desire to knowing more about what makes them tick and truly listening to them. At Russell Investments, we sort of compartmentalize a person's life into sort of five major categories. There's family, there's health, there's career, lifestyle, and community. If you want to break down these into further conversations, there's a lot to unpack there, right? For instance, family and relationships, right? Think about how people are making those decisions right now, whether it's their marital status or adult children who are now living back with their parents to sort of get out of the urban setting that they might have lived in the prior or the past before COVID, or health and wellness, right? It's about having potentially difficult conversations or uncomfortable conversations with your advisor about things that might need to be discussed or hard decisions that need to be made. And then I think about career and work. There are lots of people right now that are really making major decisions about their career, whether that's voluntarily, whether they've left on their own, or sort of a forced retirement or a forced furlough situation, right? So people are making life decisions as a result of the first 6 months of the year. And they may be doing that in other ways like their community or the legacy that they want to leave. And so this really becomes a fertile opportunity for you to sort of rediscover what those priorities are, if they've made a shift. And likely in that process, you'll probably begin to uncover tremendous insights as well as potentially assets to manage in the process. And so sort of a litmus test to be thinking about how you do discovery is if you can be on a short list of people that your client will call whenever anything good or even bad happens in their life, personally, professionally, right? That's sort of a good litmus test to see that you've built that trust, that you've done that work with them.
That's really great. And I love that image of, you know, what my goal is as an advisor when it comes to discovery and rediscovery is really build that trust to the point where I have confidence that I can be on that short list. That, you know, when my client calls their immediate family members, I am the next person on the list after that to share anything in the health, the career, the community, the family situations that, you know, all these different areas of a client's life that you just mentioned, Nancy, that incidentally all have financial implications as well. And that's sort of what ties it all together and what makes all of that information relevant for an advisor. That's really powerful. I appreciate now better the difference between data gathering and fact finding, which obviously is very important, but that's not the same thing as true discovery. So if rediscovering my clients is sort of your number one strategy right now that you are seeing advisors have success with as they're trying to, you know, create growth opportunities in their business among existing clients, what would be your number two strategy? You mentioned you have five.
Yeah. So a couple actually sort of pair off the back of the discovery conversations. Maybe a possible idea would be to sort of offer to talk to your clients, really friends and relatives, sort of think of your top clients and say, hey, you know, is there anybody in your life, in your inner circle that could benefit from the perspectives that I can share with them, right, during this unprecedented time? And sort of that really comes off very authentically, that you not only care about your clients, but frankly, you care about the most important people in their life as well by extending yourself and being sort of an empathetic listener and sort of guider through difficult times. And so being an authentic advisor to your client's most inner circle could really be a nice organic way to sort of building out that prospecting opportunity. And also when you think about discovery, it might be a really nice idea to start thinking about how to re-engage the disengaged spouse or the partner, right? So that would be my third idea here. Think about the person or the people that haven't always attended a quarterly review with you, right? And they haven't been as involved, as a way for you to be able to sort of get to know them, understand them, get them more involved. And then maybe think about building out an engagement strategy around the disengaged family member. So let's just say you're noticing that there is a disengagement in general with a certain demographic or age group, and you really want to hone in on how you can sort of engage them as a group, right? So maybe that's the female spouse that's disengaged in your book of business. Maybe you want to think about putting on a women in investing seminar, right? Or perhaps having the adult children who might be disengaged. That might be another faction of the book, who you know ultimately will play a much larger role in the family relationship when something happens to the matriarch, right? So the idea is to sort of offer yourself, to sort of facilitate yourself either at a family meeting, or potentially provide a workshop type of scenario where you can actually do some teaching and learning around money and investing for that next generation of investor. So using the discovery conversation can really sort of lead into other areas of prospecting and business building ideas.
That's really great. I can see now how you've really painted that picture of doing rediscovery of my clients is really powerful in terms of my relationship with the client, but also helps sort of open up all of these doors and opportunities for in-depth conversations and new opportunities with other people that I might have had a harder time getting in touch with. I can imagine too that doing this kind of rediscovery can potentially maybe help ward off some of those feelings that I know that I've heard a lot of advisors say that they've been getting questions from clients, even longstanding clients, that have expressed dissatisfaction with, you know, sort of their portfolio performance during the recent market volatility, and that human instinct of I'm disappointed about this, and you, my advisor, are involved in this process. You know, what have you done for me lately? Do you have any thoughts on how to shape that conversation and how to have that conversation? Maybe you have some good strategies even beyond the discovery conversation, which can actively demonstrate to a client, well, this is what I've been doing for you lately, and this is what we're doing now. But anything even sort of looking out into the future so that it's not just backwards looking?
One idea at Russell Investments that we talk about with financial advisors is this idea of creating a custom journey roadmap for each of your top clients. And in that roadmap, you can outline what you're actually doing for the client, with the client, to get them towards their goal. And then actually share that at each moment or time that you're spending with them, whether that's a review that's virtual or in person. And so you can physically actually show them what you've accomplished for them and where you're going in terms of the vision and the plan. And it certainly gives you the opportunity to implement any of the areas that you've learned through discovery, right? And so incorporating that into the overall wealth management plan. In my opinion, I don't think advisors really do a great enough job of pointing out all the wonderful work that they're doing, not only in front of their client, but all of the work they're doing behind the scenes that clients may be not aware of. So, you know, this custom roadmap idea of visually showing somebody what you're doing for them can be a powerful tool.
Hey, it's Julie, your productivity and readiness expert at Vessel Investments. We'll get back to the podcast in just a sec. But first, a question we hear from financial professionals over and over is, how do I make my investment practice stand out from the one across the street? We're all looking for ways to be unique. One powerful way is by becoming a tax-managed investing expert. Our latest Value of Advisors study shows that taking a tax-smart approach can provide enough value to investors that more than justifies a reasonable fee. And if you're thinking tax management sounds like too much work, don't, because Russell Investments can provide you with tax-smart models that can help with all that portfolio management. Visit us at russellinvestments.com to learn more and start setting your practice apart with a tax-managed approach. Or then again, maybe you could just repaint your lobby. That might help too.
So Nancy, we've talked a lot now about, you've sort of shared five ideas around rediscovery. These are fantastic ideas for my existing clients and how I can cultivate those relationships and grow those. I'm curious, you know, sometimes we want to be able to expand beyond our existing book. We love all of our existing clients and that's fantastic, but maybe I've tried all of this, or maybe, you know, I've tapped out my existing book and I need to make sure that I'm bringing in new clients. What are some strategies that you're seeing work there, especially again, in this unusual environment?
It's interesting because, you know, this has always been on the top of mind of financial advisors is how can I be growing? How can I be getting in front of new people? And I would categorize today's environment might mean looking at it from a different lens. So what I mean by that is potentially taking an approach that's much more of an empathetic approach. You know, a lot of people right now are feeling vulnerable. And so if you can find a way to really take interest in them as a human, really first and foremost, before you get into the markets and the products and the solutions, and truly sort of offer yourself very authentically, I think we'll find some really great ideas. In fact, just think about your sort of your prospective pipeline, right? Going out and reaching out to prospects that frankly haven't heard from their financial advisor in the recent weeks or months. And those individuals can really be your best prospects, because they are likely not getting the help. They're not getting the insights from their existing advisors. And so one way to think about that is to sort of think about the existing prospect today as one who is drowning in information, but really starved for wisdom. And so this is your chance to really sort of think about how you can come to them with impactful insights and ideas. Think about, you know, how you would have normally reached out to them, whether that's an email, type of campaign. You know, there's a lot to be said about ensuring that when you email a prospect, that you do it in a way that is going to really have a higher probability of them opening that email. And so there's a lot of talk and work about, you know, how do you do that? How do you create a really impactful email? And so something as simple as ensuring your subject line is short and is personal and is relevant, right? So maybe an idea is to sort of put in your subject line, right? How are your conversations going with your financial advisor? Right. And so when you do that, you sort of think about how that person might receive that email and be like, huh, I haven't heard from my financial advisor. Let me open this up. Right. And so when you do get the opportunity to talk to these folks, whether that's over the phone or in a virtual setting, you know, you want to make sure, again, to sort of lean into that engaged, active listening skill and to really come with an authentic curiosity, because that's what's going to be the difference in terms of separating you from your peers and your competitors.
Presumably, especially those competitors who haven't been reaching out to the client in the first place.
Exactly. And that's your opportunity to sort of humanize the business, right? So share a personal circumstance about how you've been working from home or juggling, balancing homeschooling or keeping your kids busy for the summer, right? Everybody wants to know how everybody else is doing it. Share how you're working with your clients and keeping them in constant communication. And it could be a light bulb moment for them, right? Saying, hey, my advisor doesn't send me those articles or doesn't host virtual meetings. He doesn't even ask me these types of questions. So I think you'll be surprised to know that these conversations are likely not happening with most of advisors and their clients. And so if you can go deeper in a way that's authentic and you can use a really sort of sharp email template to sort of renew awareness around that, I think an advisor will really have success because it's fertile opportunity to sort of reach out to people in your pipeline that haven't been served by other advisors.
I really like, there's so many things that I love that you just said, Nancy. A few of them that stick with me in particular and that I jotted down are your quote around many investors today are drowning in information but are starved for wisdom. And if you can be that advisor that turns that around for them, that makes sure that the client is no longer drowning in information and starved for wisdom, but rather is filled with wisdom and not feeling like they're drowning at all, and is able to distinguish between, you know, what is the news and what is the noise, then you can really truly make a difference for that client. I think, you know, you're touching on another element there of, you know, sort of empathy and authenticity and wanting to feel like we're part of something bigger. I've been hearing a lot of stories about, you know, people feeling more connected with their communities in response to the pandemic and sort of everybody's lives being upside down. I've heard of people, you know, starting to volunteer who hadn't volunteered as much. I'm curious, how could advisors potentially think about tapping into that feeling and sentiment right now? Again, from an authentic standpoint, but how might I think about that with my CEO hat on, as well as my individual citizen who cares a lot perspective?
It's something that I've been seeing in a day-to-day basis, even in my own community, right? So the first 6 months of this year have really sort of invoked a sense of wanting to band together. People want to band together when times are tough. And we're seeing significant wins from advisors who are really making themselves available and have gotten involved in their community and their clients' community. For example, think about becoming a subject matter expert or a resource for topics like the CARES Act. An advisor can build meaningful connections in their local community if they sort of serve as that local expert, whether that's at a town hall or a local church, your YMCA or a community center, right? It touches so many different aspects of the community. And we've actually even seen advisors create a sort of a forum so their professional and business owner clients really to sort of meet and support each other, right? Share ideas, share best practices, collaborate on sort of how they can benefit the local community. And in fact, one advisor I was speaking to not too long ago, he actually shared with me that he has a few clients in his book where they're actually restaurant owners. And we know how much of this has impacted folks that have restaurants, right? And so he actually held a virtual sort of panel discussion with those business owners so that they can talk about their creative ways to sort of exist in a world today where you can't have people in a restaurant, right? And what that might look like. That sort of bringing together of local business owners to sort of kick around some best ideas, that involvement can really sort of make a difference and help you grow.
That's really powerful. And obviously the CARES Act that you referred to is that $2 trillion plus economic relief package designed for sort of, you know, fast and direct help to American workers and families and small businesses. How about leveraging social media to help advisors grow? I mean, social media, especially when we can't see each other, I feel like, you know, social media has kind of become the place that everybody's life is now happening. Again, with my CEO hat on as an advisor, what are some ideas that you have around that?
Especially today where we can't be together, right? We can't host large client events or prospecting events. And in today's digital world, the chances are that your clients and your prospects are online, right? That's where a lot of people are getting their information. That's where they're doing a lot of the research. It has to sort of beg the question, your prospects are online, are you? What does your online presence say about you? There's some really interesting stats, Sophie, that I thought I'd share around this opportunity. Over 90% of advisors actually spend only about 5% of their day on various social platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter. But 36% of investors that are right in their sweet spot of sort of age demographic between the age of 40 and 64 are online, and they're doing research about financial advisors online, right? And that number actually jumps significantly to 73% of the age demographic that's under the age of 40. And so when you think about that opportunity, or missed opportunity, I should say, right? Over 90% of sort of the digitally enabled advisor out there is seeing an increase in their AUM because they're creating a profile for themselves and a presence for themselves on social media. We're seeing that more than a third of these practices actually grew more than 10% in just 1 year.
Well, and I know that like LinkedIn obviously is for the professional side of people's businesses and personas is a really very helpful resource and can also really help in terms of business building. If you think about just sort of LinkedIn by the numbers, right, with upwards of 150 million people using LinkedIn and 44% of them are apparently active on a monthly basis. So it's not just I've created a profile and don't actually go out there, but a lot of them are actually active. And then if I think about the target demographic that a lot of advisors might be looking for and aspiring for, apparently I read that 41% of millionaires use LinkedIn. So that can be a really helpful source, not just for, I guess, me projecting who I am so that clients can find me or prospects can find me, but even in terms of me being able to use LinkedIn to be able to find who should I be going after, who are the highest value prospects here. I've worked with some advisors that have used the additional LinkedIn Sales Navigator tool that is an additional fee. And obviously we're not endorsing LinkedIn or anything here, but it's just been interesting to observe them using that LinkedIn Sales Navigator tool to really great effect where I talked to some advisors who said, you know, when I first ran my initial screen based just on what's the industry, what is the sector that somebody is working in, what's the geographic region and stuff that I'm looking for. And the Sales Navigator pops up over 1,000 connection opportunities. That's great, but that's still 1,000 people that's a lot of people. And then by narrowing down the search criteria, you can suddenly get down to, you know, just 90 results or even in the single digits, which you don't want to narrow it too much. You still want to give yourself an opportunity to connect with people that are relevant, but certainly having a smaller scope can really help. It's much easier for me to be able to cultivate a smaller number of potential prospects rather than trying to blast out emails and hoping that that'll, you know, succeed, kind of rather than using that spray and pray approach, being much more targeted. I don't know if you've heard any similar success stories, Nancy.
Absolutely. We see some of the most successful advisors using these online tools like Navigator, which can really help you sort of narrow that list and sort of that target market, right? So the more intentional you can be, the more specific an advisor can be on a particular client that they're trying to go after, the more successful they'll be because it's much more refined and defined. And so it's not just about that. It's everything about social media, right? It's how to be intentional about how you want to portray yourself on social media, thinking about what that looks like in terms of your profile, what content you're putting out to the virtual world, right? Podcasts, blogs, the cadence in which you're doing it. So how regular are you going to be posting or sharing content? There's lots of studies that say you have to be quite intentional about that. If you start, you sort of don't want to stop because you'll lose momentum, right? There'll be a lack of consistency. And so your followers and your viewership might change. So there's sort of two areas. It's sort of your intentional way that you show up on social media, as well as using the tool as a way to sort of narrow your client base and narrow your prospecting list. So I think there's a wealth of opportunity there. And certainly we can help advisors think through that more clearly.
Another area, Nancy, that my mind sort of drifts to when I think about, okay, so I'm trying to differentiate myself from others, and I'm trying to reach and attract new prospects and kind of get mind share with them, right? Trying to figure out where are other areas in a client's life where they might be drowning in information but starved for wisdom, where there might be some amount of uncertainty or even some fear in their lives where they really are craving guidance from an expert. And maybe because we just filed our taxes yesterday as we record this on July 16th, but my mind goes to taxes because oftentimes that is sort of perceived as the bane of everybody's existence. It's complicated, it's in depth, it's detailed, and oftentimes it can involve signing checks that we didn't think that we should be signing. And it's true. A lot of investors do end up, as the statistics show, do end up signing checks that maybe they didn't need to if they had been more thoughtful and had been guided by somebody who was intentional about managing the tax implications of their investments. What do you think of this idea of trying to use taxes and discussions around taxes as a way to grow my business with new clients and potential prospects?
I love that idea. I think it is a really phenomenal way to think about growing because it actually happened yesterday. It happened yesterday with my husband and I, and we had a pretty uncomfortable conversation with our CPA, and she shared with us what we needed to write a check for. And we couldn't believe how much that felt and that pain that it felt. And so I think about the benefit to that pain point, right? I think about the opportunity for a financial advisor that can really sort of take this topic on and really bring to light that most clients aren't even aware of the tax drag on their portfolios, right? So in a study that we've conducted now for over 6 years, we find that when we look back at the last 5 years, and this is ending December the 31st of 2019, the average tax drag of U.S. equity funds, again, not tax managed, has had an average annual tax drag of 185 basis points. Now, if you compare that to a taxed managed strategy of only 54 basis points, you're looking at 131 basis points of value that a financial advisor can bring. And so here's the question I would beg to ask this audience is, in a world or an environment where there's so little that we can control, markets, performance of portfolios, global pandemic, wouldn't you like to know that you actually have in your control something as important as that? We think this presents a tremendous opportunity for prospecting and building your business by being sort of that advisor on a tax managed basis. So it's sort of a win-win for everybody. One, from the client's perspective, if an advisor can deliver you a tax managed solution, right, and help you avoid sort of losing returns to unnecessary tax liabilities and help sort of create greater wealth accumulation and then have a higher chance of meeting my outcome, that's a win. And then from the advisor's perspective, it's a true differentiator, right? In terms of how they show up to prospects and positioning themselves as really somebody that can help manage through that.
Now, you've mentioned COIs there and, you know, sort of in the form of CPAs and stuff. That seems like another great place for advisors to be able to grow their business. Can you elaborate on your thoughts there a little bit?
You know, we think developing relationships with COIs is really one of the most effective ways to sort of grow and gather new assets. It just acts as a way of leverage to your practice. And so ideas that we've seen really work, especially in today's market environment, is think about maybe hosting virtual happy hours and bringing these sort of centers of influence together. Share ideas on how you're working from home, how you've made that transition to talking with clients and being around clients, right? Your tips and tricks, your best practices. You know, it's a way to sort of connect and share ideas that can potentially result in some nice, meaningful relationships over time, right? I've seen advisors also partner with Russell Investments, our regional teams, to sort of deliver on CE to CPAs who are really looking for those credits. We actually have a CPA in a box prospecting toolkit that advisors can leverage. And so we have a lot on this topic that we can dig deeper into. But we do think that COI relationships can truly be an extension of you and your team.
Nancy, I really appreciate you taking the time to share all these fantastic ideas with us about how can I grow my business through, one, my existing clients, really doing that deeper discovery, talking to their inner circle, the next generation, the disengaged partner, the client engagement roadmap kind of tool. And then also, how can I grow my business by reaching out to new prospects, revisiting my prospect pipeline, thinking about my email templates in a very intentional way, getting involved in my community in a way that feels authentic and true to myself and positions me as a thought leader and as a subject matter expert, thinking about taxes and centers of influence, social media, and also, you know, sort of generally COI relationships. This was incredibly valuable, Nancy. Such great insights and also practical ways that we can adopt instantly in a lot of ways to be able to reignite that growth engine in our businesses in the second half and incorporate some of these best practices into our business planning for next year, for 2021. Thank you for your time, Nancy. I know you're incredibly busy and are jumping onto the next call, but thank you for having stopped in and talked with us today.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Really fun to talk to you, Sophie.
And thank you all for joining us today. We will be back again soon with more ideas for how you can grow your business. This podcast episode was recorded on July 16th, 2020 in our home offices in Seattle and New Jersey. And thank you as always to our amazing editor, producer, and sound engineer, Conrad Piper-Ruth.